Morning. It was about heaven. Did you catch that this morning? And then Mrs. Talbert, what a beautiful song about the cross. And I hope you understand, we're not here to waste time, right? There's a purpose to everything that we do. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. And so I just challenge you, as we're singing, think about the words that we're singing. They're not just choruses. They're not slogans like a Pepsi commercial or something like that. We sing songs because they mean something to us. And oh my, I was thinking about, as we were singing about heaven today, what a day that will be. Do you understand for a second, and please hear the entire thought tonight and this morning, and we understand that there are loved ones that have gone on before, and that's a wonderful reason to be thankful for heaven. But we understand that the reason that's going to make heaven heaven is because our Savior's there. I mean, there's a wonderful blessing of knowing the Savior is that our loved ones will be there, our friends and family, those that have gone on before. Praise God. We know they're safe and secure in the arms of the Savior. But do we understand the reason that we're going to be in heaven is because Jesus is there? And the purpose of being there is because He came and died on the cross that Mrs. Talbert just sang about. It's just a wonderful thought. It had changed the way we worship together. If we kind of aligned our music, and the music caused me to think about how that is a biblical truth and how that directly applies to my life. What a wonderful time of singing we've had this morning. Thank you for singing unto the Lord. And I would focus our attention this morning in the book of Psalms in chapter 23. If you would take your Bibles with me, and as you find your place, if you'll stand in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to do a little bit of responsive reading today. I'll read the first verse, and then join me on the second verse, and I'll read the third, join me on the fourth, I'll read the fifth, and then you can join me again on verse number six. All right? The Bible says, and the statement that sets the tone for the entire psalm, we understand, remember that? The statement that sets the tone for the entire Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2, let's read it together. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is what our Savior does for us. If He's your shepherd today, this is what He does. And there's so much promise. That's why we're not going to rush through it. I mean, I hope we don't get tired of hearing Psalms 23 for the next 6 or 7 weeks or however long the Lord has us in the psalm. And it wouldn't be a good thing if we could get tired of a psalm, much less this psalm. This psalm is such a personal psalm, and it's written personally to you. And I can't wait to get to verse 3 where it says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse 4, let's read it together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We often wonder those times when times seem difficult and times seem hard and times seem so fearful. Maybe it's because we're trusting in myself and I've disregarded the presence of the shepherd and of the good of our Savior. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I had to peek ahead and study that, and I'm excited to preach that portion of this text to you in a few weeks. He says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. Father, You're so good to us. We thank You for these few moments together and the time around Your word. We think of the many that are here, perhaps bearing a heavy load, and those that aren't able to be here, bearing heavy burdens today, and whether it's health or a struggle or an attack or a storm or a trial, whatever it might be. May we be consistent and fervent in praying and encouraging one another today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As I began studying this passage, we're in verse number 2, we're looking at the second half of the passage. And it was almost like, have you ever been reading the Bible and it's almost like you hit a speed bump? You know what I'm saying? Is that something just gets your attention every time? You know what it means? You know what it feels like to hit a speed bump, right? You got to slow down or it really jolts you. Or a lot of times me reading a speed bump is because I didn't see the speed bump, and so it's a good jolt. I realize, whoa, there's something there. I had to, before we could get to the still waters, what stuck out to me were those first three words, He leadeth me. He leadeth me, and so, brought so much to my mind. And hopefully we can look at that in greater detail this morning as we get into the fact that He desires to lead us. He knows what is best for us, and He's prepared for us, and He's provided for us. And He leadeth me beside the still waters, our text says this morning. When shepherds say, from what I've studied specifically, shepherds say when sheep are thirsty, they become restless, and they set out in search of water to satisfy their thirst. If not led to good water supplies of clean, pure water, they'll often end up drinking from the polluted potholes where they pick up internal parasites and disease. This author said, Christ the Good Shepherd made it clear that thirsty men and women can only be fully satisfied when their capacity for thirst for spiritual life is fully quenched by drawing on Himself. We're reminded again, David here is writing on a subject that he knew well from the perspective of a sheep. And David knew, as we looked at last week, the green pastures, that it was the shepherd's priority to prepare and to lead the sheep to places of nourishment. But he also understood that sheep need to be guided and led to the right places in order to drink properly, to get the right water that they needed. And the reason that David is giving us this example with the sheep is to help us to understand our complete dependence upon the shepherd. Our complete dependence upon the shepherd, because it pictures for us in the life of the sheep that the sheep are willing to go anywhere and everywhere if they think what they're finding is going to satisfy. But often the sheep don't know better than the shepherd. And it's up to the shepherd and the sheep trusting the shepherd. Oftentimes, maybe the struggle most in my life is I'm a sheep. We're sheep. But we fail to act like sheep. We fail to really trust the shepherd. Sheep, you know, sheep get in trouble when they don't trust the shepherd. A sheep would be in a lot of trouble if he thought he were a lion, right? And we're to go and try and live amongst lions. The sheep would be in trouble. The lions would be incredibly happy. If a sheep were to try to be a rhinoceros and try to scare off other predators the way a rhinoceros does, the sheep would be in a lot of trouble. David here says, we're sheep. We need the shepherd. Not just sheep, we understand, need a shepherd. Proke and prod, little bo peep, all that stuff with the shepherd's crook and stuff and things like that. No, David is telling us, in real life, sheep need the shepherd every day for everything. And today he's talking about still waters, about quenching our spiritual thirst. Jesus mentioned this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's important to follow the shepherd. Isaiah 58:11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. What a wonderful description from Isaiah 58:11. He says, satisfy thy soul as in drought. Make fat thy bones. Be like a watered garden. I want my life to be like that. Well-watered, thriving spiritually. I don't know about you, but I like to see driving by people's houses and seeing wonderful, well-manicured gardens. Does anyone have one of those with flowers and shrubs and you've got all the weeds pulled out? No? No, nobody? I like to see that. You can tell that there was some investment that's gone into that. You can tell that some work and some effort went into that thriving garden, that rich soil and all of those things. And the Lord says that spiritually our lives can be like that, but we have to allow Him to guide us. And the picture there is of sometimes in order to have a garden, a well-watered garden, it doesn't happen overnight. I don't have a green thumb. I'm more likely prone to killing a garden than I would be to keeping a garden, because I just would need that kind of help and training and all of those different things. But I do know a little bit. I do know how to start a garden, and it requires that you remove some weeds. And so we come to passages of Scripture like this and think, well-watered garden, yes, I would like to be watered and growing, but a well-watered garden requires some work. It requires turning up of hard soil. It requires removing of things that would hinder growth or prohibit growth. And sometimes we don't like to hear that. But God's Word and His Word and through His Spirit, He promises that my life can flourish spiritually because of the care and the nourishment of the good Shepherd. We need a guide. We need a daily guide. He said in the first part of this verse, for green pastures, for still waters. When Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, He was teaching His disciples, and He wanted to comfort them, and He explained the great truth of the Holy Spirit coming. And He said in John 16, it is expedient for you that I go away. And He's telling them that there was much for them left to learn, but the Holy Spirit was going to come and was going to indwell the believer. Jesus was reminding them and telling them there's so much that He had left that they needed to learn, but that He would send the Holy Spirit to teach them and to guide them. And the fact that we need a guide. And as Christians, we grow day by day as we feed on the Word of God, as we commune with our Savior. There's much we need to know, and we need to grow, and we needed a guide. And Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will be a guide. Jesus sent us a guide, the Holy Spirit, to live within us. And He will constantly and consistently teach us what we need to know and help us to grow as a believer. He will guide us. And maybe you'd say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm here today, and I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm not growing as I should. Well, we're reminded this morning from the 23rd Psalms that the secret to growing in the Christian life is in yielding to the Shepherd. It's a fairly simple thing. If He's going to lead, we have to let Him. We have to let Him. God established this pattern, this principle of submission in His Word, and we're not going to be led by the Shepherd unless we submit. All through Scripture, God established a principle of authority and submission. It's seen in His Word, the principle of a pastor submitting to God and leading the New Testament church. It's a principle of a church being in subject to the pastor as he in turn follows and is subject to our Heavenly Father. It's seen in husbands leading in their homes and parents leading children. And it's not simply for the pastor's sake or for the husband's sake or for the parent's sake, but it's to teach a principle of authority and submission to authority. It's a principle God established because God, we need to understand the plan that God has for us. And we need to understand that God wants to do something in our life, and He has a plan for our lives only if we're willing to be submissive to Him. There's a story of a tyrannical husband who demanded that his wife conform to rigid standards of his choosing. She was to do certain things for him as a wife, a mother, and a homemaker. In time, she came to hate him and his list of rules and regulations. The story goes that then one day her husband died, and later she fell in love with another man and married him. She and her new husband lived on in perpetual honeymoon. Joyfully, she devoted herself to his happiness and welfare, and one day she ran across one of the sheets of do's and don'ts her first husband had left for her. To her amazement, she found that she was doing for her second husband all the things her first husband demanded of her, even though her new husband had never once suggested them. She simply did them as an expression of love for her husband and as a desire to please him. as a desire to please Him. We understand that one day, the Bible says our old sin nature died, and we were no longer slaves or bound to sin. And the Bible says, as we once served unrighteousness, now we are to serve righteousness, we're to serve God, we're to love Him, we're to please Him. And we got to do that just because of what He's done for us, because of the great price that He paid for our sin. However much of the rebellion in our world today is against God's principle of authority. Rebellion because we're not willing to submit to anyone. The Bible teaches us, though, that joy is a byproduct of obedience, and you'll never be a joyful wife unless you're submissive to your husband's leadership, and you'll never be a joyful husband unless you're submissive to Christ and to the needs of your wife. I'll never be a joyful pastor if I don't lead the church and submit to the leadership of the Lord and the needs of this church. Children will never be joyful children unless they're submissive to parents. We'll not be what God wants us to be unless we follow His plan. We submit to His authority. In order for the shepherd to lead, we must let him. We must submit to him. Who knows more about our lives than the shepherd? Who knows more about why we were created than the good shepherd? Why do we make such a mess of our lives at times? It's because we try to run our lives. Why do we cause such heartache in the lives of others? It's often because we try to manage our own lives. Our old nature cries out, I'm going to be my own boss and no one will ever rule over me. One man said this idea of submitting and obeying the Lord and seeking Him and following Him and abiding in Him. He said everything else in life is settled when this is settled. Following the shepherd. Trusting Him. Jesus gives us a wonderful picture of submission in His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. He perfectly submitted to His Father. He calls the Lord His Father. This is an example of submission. He says He is doing the will of the Father, and this also speaks of submission. Submission, though, isn't popular for people bent towards self-reliance, but God calls us to submit. How do we submit to Him? Well, submission is a desire to be near to Him, making great efforts to spend time with Him, to know Him better. One man said it this way, where do we go to rest beside the still waters of God's love and compassion? Where can we find those refreshing streams that will allow us to escape our moments of spiritual dryness? Where may we turn to bathe and bask in the freshness of the chilling waters of His faithfulness towards us? The answer, he said, is plain and easy to understand, just like the psalmist. It's through the longing of the heart for more of God and a deeper relationship and dependence upon Him. Only through establishing that personal relationship with God and knowing that we cannot make it on our own will we be able to taste the refreshment of those waters of spiritual blessing. He said it begins with prayer. It's a prayer of deep pleading with God for more of Him. And while there in the midst of beseeching God, we humble ourselves before Him and we're willing to submit to His intervention in our day-to-day routine. It means to allow God to have control, to let God be who He is, to let Him be God, submitting to the Good Shepherd. Our text reminds us that the Shepherd, not only is it important that we follow Him, but the Shepherd supplies. Life without water is impossible. Almost 70% of a sheep's body consists of water. It's part of every cell. It determines the vitality and the strength and the vigor of the sheep and is essential to health and general well-being, and it was necessary for everyday function. If the sheep did not get the water it needs, its body wouldn't function properly. However, sheep have no sense of direction, and it's up to the shepherd to lead them to the still waters. And it's important to note that these are still waters. They're not raging streams. Sheep actually fear moving water. They're reluctant to drink from a lake or stream unless the water is still. You see, if a sheep falls into a rapidly moving stream or lake, they're already covered in a heavy, thick coat of wool, and all that would do if the sheep fell into the water was quickly absorb more water, and sheep can't swim, so they drown. So sheep are aware of the fact that moving water can be dangerous, and so they're reluctant to drink. They're reluctant. There are several ways the shepherd can provide. There are wells that the shepherd would take great effort to provide water for the sheep, and streams and springs often, but one primary means of watering the sheep is from dew. It's from dew. You see, sheep can go for prolonged periods of time, even months, and never drink from a well or a stream if they can get enough dew. And it was a responsibility of the shepherd to, very early in the morning, before the heat of the day burns away the dew, the shepherd would lead the sheep to the place where they can get the water that they need. And it's an interesting parallel in the Christian life. One man said, it's significant to observe those who are often most confident and able to cope with life's complexities are those who rise early to meet with God. It's in those quiet and early morning hours, those private hours with God, we're able to be led beside the still waters. It's much more than a figure of speech. Men and women, great men and women through history, men and women of God repeatedly point out how the secret of success in their spiritual life was spending quiet time with the Lord. With the Lord. The sheep know their bodies. They know they need water because they get thirsty. God made them that way. We have physical thirst, and sometimes we quench that thirst with things that are not helpful, not hydrating, but dehydrating. So many liquids are not hydrating liquids. Many things can actually not provide water, but take water from our bodies. Caffeinated beverages, doctors say, coffee, tea, soda, energy drinks can actually take away water from our bodies. Fruit juices and other drinks with high sugar content can keep the body from absorbing the water it needs. By drinking these, we remove water from our body. Doctors always go back to the proven, tried, and true. The best thing for our bodies is water. In our spiritual life, God has given us a thirst. But so often we try to quench that thirst with things that dehydrate. They seem to satisfy, but in the end they don't. They actually harm us. John 7:37, Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Drink is another word to accept or believe or to take. The difficulty often is that those who are thirsty for God, who have a deep inner sense of searching and seeking, who are looking for that which will satisfy, are often unsure where to look or what they're looking for. And in their dilemma, they'll drink from any dirty pool to try to satisfy their thirst for fulfillment. In John chapter 4, there's a beautiful story of the woman at the well, and she'd been married, if you remember or recall the story at all, she'd been married 5 times, and the story says the man she currently was living with was not her husband, and her life was out of control. She was at the well at noon to draw water because she knew the other women would be gone, and she wouldn't face the embarrassment or the scorn or the ridicule of those others in the town, and she didn't want to be embarrassed, but Christ had a divine appointment to meet her at that well. And he saw her thirsty soul and spoke directly to her desperate need. In John 4, verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." What a promise. What a wonderful picture we get from the example of Jesus and the woman at the well of the importance of sharing the gospel. What a heart that Jesus had for people. Jesus gives us a wonderful example. I want a heart like Jesus had. I want a heart like Jesus had. May we love people like Jesus did. It's important to follow the shepherd. It's important because he provides what we need. Joseph Gilmore was just out of seminary when he filled in a couple weeks at a church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he gave this testimony. He said, "At the midweek service on the 26th of March, 1862, I set out to give the people an exposition of the 23rd Psalm, which I had given before on 3 or 4 occasions. But he said, this time I didn't get further than the words, he leadeth me. He said, those words took hold of me as they had never done before. And as I saw them in a significance and wondrous beauty of which I had never dreamed. He said, it was the darkest hour of the Civil War, and I did not refer to that fact. He said, I didn't think I did, but it may subconsciously have led me to realize that God's leadership in is the one significant fact in human experience, that it makes no difference how we are led or whether we are or where we are led, so long as we are sure that God is leading. At the close of the meeting, a few of us, he said, in the parlor of their host, kept talking about the thought I'd emphasize. And he said, then and there on a blank page of paper, which he said, I penciled the hymn, talking and writing at the same time, then handed it to my wife and thought no more about it. She sent it to a paper that was published in Boston. He said, I didn't know until 1865 that my hymn had been set to music. He said, I was in a church in Rochester, New York, preaching as the candidate before the church. Going into the church as we arrived in the city, he said, I picked up a hymnal to see what they were singing and opened it, he said, to my own hymn. The hymn is this. It says, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The sheep need to follow the shepherd. They're rewarded for their faith in the shepherd by having even the simplest of needs met. Simplest of needs. He delights to know, the shepherd does, that my soul and my spirit have been refreshed. However, for every clear, cool drink that God has for us, the devil offers us something else to satisfy. Philip Keller writes that about the time there was a time when he observed a bunch of sheep as they were being led to a magnificent mountain stream. The snow-fed waters were flowing pure and clear and crystal. But he said on the way, several stubborn sheep and their lambs stopped instead to drink from small, dry, muddy pools beside the trail. The water was filthy and polluted. Still, the stubborn sheep were quite sure it was the best drink obtainable. It was filthy and unfit for them. Much more was obviously contaminated with germs and parasites that would eventually riddle them with disease of destructive impact. He went on to write, people often try this pursuit or that pursuit with the casual comment, so what, I can't see that it's going to do any harm. Little do they appreciate that often there is a delayed reaction, and that considerable time may elapse before the full impact of their misjudgment strikes home. Then suddenly they're in deep trouble, and they wonder why. The irony of life, the tragic truth is that often that's the same way it is today. We try to satisfy our thirst by pursuing almost every or other substitute. We try drinking from the wells of this world only to turn away unsatisfied. To protect against that, to offset against that danger and guard against it, God invites us to allow ourselves to be led by His own gracious Spirit. We mentioned before that 70% of a sheep's body is made up of water, and if they don't get the right amount, the proper amount of hydration, that their bodies simply don't function properly. Do you know why so many Christians aren't functioning like Christians? You know why so many don't function the way that they're planned and they're expected to? It's because they're not getting water from the shepherd. They're not seeking the shepherd. Jeremiah spoke about this to his people in Jeremiah chapter 2. My people have committed two evils, he said. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What a dramatic picture of broken lives. Shattered hopes and barren souls that are dried up and parched and full of despair. It's a picture of those whose lives are full of seeking anything and everything except for the Savior. In the middle of a world just like this, a world dried up, a world parched, a world broken lives and shattered hopes, confusion, in a sin-sick society, Christ comes and invites us to come to Him, to follow Him, to know Him, to receive Him. He invites us to put our faith, our confidence in Him, to completely lean upon Him. He knows best how to satisfy. He knows the human heart. He knows our soul, and only Christ Himself can satisfy. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Psalms 42, 1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." Have you tasted and seen how good God is? And it causes you to have a thirst, a desire for more, for more. David was looking at life from the standpoint of a sheep, and he wrote, "The good shepherd, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He alone knows where the still, quiet, calm, pure water is to be found that can satisfy his sheep, that can keep them fit and strong." When we try to meet our needs and quench our thirst, we become easy prey for the contaminants of this world. We end up broken, having tried in vain to quench our thirst, to fulfill our desires with the things of this world. Jesus reminds us, He sent us a guide, His Spirit, to lead us into all truth. We can avoid the potholes of this world as we allow the shepherd to meet our needs. He promised to, He wants to. He leadeth me. Can you say that this morning? That He leadeth me? Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Perhaps, I don't know where you're at this morning, perhaps you're restless. You're restless. You've tried everything that this world has to offer, and what it really means is you're not just restless, but you're running from the shepherd today. You've tried all the contaminants of this world, and all you've ended up with is being unsatisfied, unhappy, seeking after a position, maybe seeking after a relationship, maybe seeking after finances, maybe seeking after education, whatever it might be. Anything that we use in replace of the Savior will ultimately not satisfy. Child of God, if you're not following the Savior, if you're not allowing Him to lead you to those still waters, you're going to end up not functioning the way you're expected to function as a child of God. Are you restless this morning? You're seeking something? Anything? What a promise, though, we have on the positive side, though. What a promise to know our shepherd's great care for us. Maybe today you just would say to the Lord, "My goodness, You've been so good to me. You've constantly and consistently led to still waters, to green pastures, to my good and my care and shown Your love consistently over and over and over again." I don't know where this finds you this morning. Perhaps it's a time of comfort, and the Spirit of God's just comforting your spirit, letting you know that He's in control. Perhaps it's a time of conviction. You're not functioning. You're looking for anything and everything but the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're looking for anything and everything but the peace of God in your life, and you're restless. Restless. I know one who can satisfy this morning. I know who can satisfy the needs of our soul, the needs of our soul, and that's our Savior, that's Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for these few moments this morning. How good You are, how good You've been to us. As we allow Your Word to work in our hearts and our lives, may we answer and respond honestly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we going to sing, Brother Tim? Page 220, as Brother Tim sings, as a